Yes. You're on the Insta.
He's correcting me.
Well, no, I didn't mean it as in a correcting thing. Insta. No,
okay. It comes from, there's a YouTube channel I follow.
Uh-huh.
South Main Auto.
Okay.
Like my favorite YouTube mechanic.
Uh-huh.
And he's my age.
Okay.
And he just has dad jokes all day.
Yeah, dad jokes. And you know, he's like Facebook and... Mm-hmm. I don't know how he does the, but he's the one that says the Insti.
The Insti. All right. Hello, one and all. We're back after
a hiatus.
How long has it been?
It was before.
Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. How was your Christmas, Jeremy? Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah, it was quiet.
Were you here or did you go back to Florida?
I was here. My parents came for New Year's.
Oh.
So they came right after Christmas.
Okay. That's cool. Nice. We were overseas.
We were in Japan.
Yeah, in Japan.
Doing the Tokyo Drift experience.
Pretty much. All the
That's awesome.
Although we really didn't do much car stuff.
Well, it was during Tokyo Auto Salon.
Which I went to.
You went to. I didn't go to.
It was fun.
You know, is that like a new car show?
No, Tokyo Auto Salon has been around for ages. Yeah. Tokyo Auto Salon is SEMA in Japan. So it is a very much so...
a lot of tuners.
That's a trade show.
Yeah, trade show.
But
yeah.
more cars... than SEMA. Yeah. Do you want it taller, Jeremy? I don't think it goes any taller.
Do I sound like I'm off in the distance? I
feel you're fine.
No, you're
fine.
I think
it's going to auto-compensate.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, right. You can also lean in a little bit, but you should be okay. If you talk loud enough, it's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Which episode is this?
This is season two.
Season
episode
two.
One.
Oh, okay.
There is that
we go.
What we're calling
starting
it?
Fresh.
Yeah, because like on my little, like on the little podcast website, you can break it up in seasons. So I think we made it to like episode 7 or 8 in season
right.
One.
Yeah. Okay.
So like this will be season
pretty
2.
Good. Yeah, pretty good.
Episode 1.
Okay.
That's cool.
New season.
New season. We also have a new setup. So I feel like this could be a new season. Yeah. I mean, my kitchen is kind of barren, but maybe we'll put a little photo up there or something.
Some posters up or something.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Make it look nice. But yeah, so new year, new stuff. Not too many new car movies, but that's what we're going to talk about today is
right.
Some our favorite movies. Because, I don't know, when I was in Japan, I feel like we were living in a movie. So.
Oh, it was just, so culturally, it's just so different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, just trains, the cars, like the way people act
The trains, the way people act was really interesting.
Yeah.
They're very nonchalant. Very nonchalant about you. So
they're very polite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The customer service people are polite. Everybody else just doesn't care. Like, you're just not there. Like,
you're just an NPC.
Right. Invisible. Right. I'd rather be invisible, though, than like people constantly staring at me. So, so car movies.
Movies, cars with movies in it. Or
both. So there's like two different genres, right? So you got like the Fast and the Furious,
you
right?
You can't cheat. You can't just name all the Fast and the Furious.
No, we're not going to do that. We're only talking about ones that pertain to us and maybe some of the Fast and Furious movies and maybe how car movies have gone in like what directions they've gone in. And also just movies that had special cars in them that, made people either fall in love with cars or even brought you to like the car scene, right?
Yes.
So, but just anything cars and movies.
Okay.
So, because I feel like those go hand in hand. Because it's like
there's
action.
So many.
Yeah.
Because cars can be used as like almost as a character in itself.
Oh. Yeah.
Or as an extension of the character. Very, obviously James Bond, right?
Right.
Very famously.
Speaking of, I have to add another to my list.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah. So James Bond. Also, we think, I don't know if it was movie or TV series, but Kit.
Oh, of course.
Knight Rider.
Yeah, Kit Knight Rider.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
your brain starts going.
It'll start rolling, Jeremy. There's so many. I didn't really grow up with Knight Rider, so I just know of it, though, because as a car person, these are things that you kind of come across. Right. I probably couldn't even... It was a Camaro,
right? It was a show.
Yeah, it was a... Was it a Camaro or was it a T-Bird?
It was a Thunderbird.
It wasn't a Thunderbird.
It was a Trans Am.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Fire Chicken, I think.
Fire Chicken, yes. It would have been the Fire Chicken.
No, you're thinking of Harry and the Bandit. Is it Harry and the... Smokey and the Bandit.
It's on my list here.
Smokey and the Bandit was a Fire Chicken.
But I think you're right.
It was a Trans Am.
It was a Trans Am.
But
all black.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Who was the prop guy that made a lot of those Like, he did the kit car. He did the original Batmobile. Man, what was this guy's name again? Very, very famous hot rodder. It's like Bob something. He did a bunch of, like, he did all the Munster car, the coffin car. I think
what cars did he do, you said?
The original Batmobile. The, obviously, Kit. Knight Rider, the car. He did a bunch of, the Addams Family car, I think, or the Munsters, which was like the
George Barris.
George Barris, yeah, George Barris is an extremely famous prop slash. He owned his own company that all they did were like modified or, you know, he created body kits. He was American a hot rodder. I think he was from California. I think he's from California, right?
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, this was, we can go really deep into California hot rod culture. That'd probably take another like 2 or 3 hours, but
right.
He was pretty prolific.
Oh, in yeah, he did. He did LA scene. Car, Kit. General Lee.
The General Lee. Oh, yep, yep. Yeah, a lot
of these started.
I can't remember the last time I watched, I can't remember the name of the movie.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Thank you.
Yes.
But a lot of these started life as TV shows that were made into movies, right?
Yes.
Correct.
They did.
Yes.
They did.
Knight Rider. They made Knight Rider into a movie, didn't
was
they?
It a movie first and then was a TV show?
No, it was definitely a TV show.
David Hasselhoff?
Yeah. As was Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard.
See, I never saw Dukes of Hazzard in the TV show setting. I've only seen the one movie everybody's seen.
You know, it was in syndication when I was a little kid, and
yeah,
I always thought non-cable. It was like, why don't these guys open the doors?
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like such a hard way to get in and out of the car.
Well, it's like a bootlegging car and it had a roll cage in it or mm-hmm. something like that.
Okay,
but it was fat, you know, they just like swung themselves in.
But that was also like the things to do. We think about any kind of like car like movie, and like from 70 all the way up until 90, it was like we slide across the hood.
Yeah.
Or we like, if it's a convertible, we're just jumping in, which I would never do because like
I'd probably break my back.
Yeah, right. I'd miss the pain. I mean, I'd mess up the pain.
Buttons on my jeans would just go.
Yeah, or like you get snagged on the door. Now you're like upside down in the car.
Yeah,
like I feel like there's just so many things that could go wrong with like.
Yeah.
But the movies make it look so easy. The movies make driving look really easy.
Yeah.
Where should we start?
Let's start with let's start with like how the car movies have evolved in today. Let's start with today and how bad they are. I'll just talk about how bad car movies are.
I haven't watched a car movie in a long time, so tell me how bad they are today.
There's like three different genres of car movies, right? Like so you have like
Fast and the Furious 25 or something?
Yeah, pretty much. So you have full fiction car movies,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
Then we have
the documentary. Then
we have documentary.
Ford versus Ferrari. I still haven't seen that.
Oh, it's good.
I know.
Jeremy, you might not go home today. We might have to sit here and watch that like today.
It's fantastic.
I'm so serious.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Ford versus Ferrari. Also, things like the Gran Turismo movie, which is also it's a dramatized documentary, but it's a real event. You know, so we kind of have those. So
and
like,
then you've got cars, like you got Disney.
Then you have animated car movies. You know that are like car things and have like car stuff in it, but it's for the kids.
Would you count Transformers as a car movie?
Yeah. No. Transformers.
Grew up watching Transformers, right?
I had Transformers.
You had Transformers, yeah.
The toys that transformed.
Yeah, one that turned into a gun and, you know.
Yeah, and I was more interested in, like, the mechanism of how they moved than, like,
how do you actually
robots.
Right, yeah. So Transformers would be a good example of, like, a movie that had cool cars in it, you know, by virtue
of
like
a cartoon,
right?
Cartoon first,
you know,
Saturday
morning.
Yeah, until we got
to,
you know, the later movies with the GM contracts and Michael Bay and the explosions, you know.
So now, and then there's just movies that it's like product placement,
right?
Right. Right. You know, it's pure product placement.
Right. So, so automakers will like pay to be like
a lot of money.
That's been going on a long time.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like even more so,
yeah,
it's just gotten crazy.
Yeah. It's like, you must have my car in your movie. So like a really good example, that's not a movie, but TV show on Netflix. The Gentleman. No. It's about a show about, like, British crime, people, weed business, whatever. Anyway, they have a Land Rover Jaguar contract.
Right, right.
And
it is called The Gentleman. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, every car is a black Land Rover.
Not everybody in London drives a black Land Rover. Yeah, trust
I mean, not every single car in the movie, but the 90%, like the hero car, like anybody who was a main character is in some sort of Jaguar Land Rover.
Tata Motors.
Right. But yeah, so car movies today are like kind of hit or miss. The Fast and the Furious franchise is off on the moon, quite literally.
When did the first? My boss hit me with a one-liner from one of the Fast and the Furious Friday, and I'm like,
I
don't even remember what it was.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time, and in that time, I'm free.
Or like tuna no crust.
It was not something I think...
You can have any beer you want, as long as it's a Corona.
All right. I saw the first Fast and the Furious, and I've never seen one since then. When was that? I
don't 99 or 2000?
That's what I thought, yeah.
It was at least 99. It was pretty 9/11.
It was called The Fast and the Furious.
And The Furious.
The start of a franchise.
Oh, shoot. It was actually 2001.
Oh, shit. Okay. After 9/11 or before 9/11?
Well, I've seen what the date was on that one. That was...
Probably before.
I don't think it makes a difference.
It was just before.
It was August, June, right? It was June 22nd. Yeah, it was a summer movie.
Yeah. Anyway. I guess, you know, we can start with... Let's start with the Fast and the Furious movies, just really quick, just to get them out of the way.
Let's go to Jeremy first.
Yeah. Jeremy.
Well, you should start.
Start with the movies that you have written down for your car movies, and we'll bounce off of that.
Let's see how many of them you've seen.
Actually, heard of.
My number one favorite car chase movie, or movie with car chases, Ronin.
I could go on for like hours about that movie.
With
hours.
De Niro
and the French actor.
Vincent.
So list them off, and then we can riff.
We got to come back because Ronan is full of good one-liners. Yeah. Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. Smokey and the Bandit, famous with Tim. Was it Custer Beaton or what was his name? The main guy with the mustache. Kurt Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Burt Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kurt Reynolds.
I'm like, no. Close enough.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds and...
what's the name?
Jerry Reed was, I think, the truck driver.
Yeah, he was fantastic in that, by the way. And the girl... I forgot what the femme fatale was.
Yeah. It was...
what was her name?
Carrie, and then in the movie... Her name was Carrie in the movie.
Yeah, but...
Sally Field.
Very famous actor.
Yeah.
All right, so those are the first two.
She was in Forrest Gump, by the way. She was the mom.
Indeed, she was in Forrest Gump.
Yes.
She's been in
I think she might have won she was like something for it, like a best supporting actress
or something. You want to get sappy? She was in Steel Magnolias with Julia Roberts.
Great movie.
Burt Reynolds.
GOAT.
Let's go off topic real quick.
Magnum P.I.
One of my all-time favorite movies, Boogie Nights. Which is now, I think, 25 years old.
And it has got good cars in it, too. Right?
Oh, it's got
Hot rods like, and all kinds of stuff.
It's got Corvette, you know, like. Yeah. But like, they're like Malaise era cool cars. Right. So Malaise era Corvettes.
The C2, right? C2, C3.
Yeah.
Red Stingray.
C3. Right. C3. Yeah. Stingray.
C3. Yeah. Red C3.
Like a 280Z.
Yeah.
Great 1970s Cadillacs.
I mean, they're kind of coming back if you think about it. Just the design.
Okay. A couple of Bond movies. The first one that came to mind was Tomorrow Never Dies.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Because it featured, it's the second to the last movie that Desmond Llewellyn was in as Q.
What was the last James Bond movie that didn't have, like, I'm saying this in such a weird way. What was the last non-Aston Martin James, like, when did they go to, like, James Bond drives an Aston Martin? Like, what movie, what was the transitional period for
I mean, in the 60s, James Bond drove an Aston Martin.
There was one where he drove a Ford Mustang.
There's also one, I want to say he had a Lamborghini as well. Really? Unless I'm just, like, misthinking.
Oh, jeez. Well, in the books, he drove a Bentley.
Oh, really?
It was an Esprit?
Yeah, maybe that's
in the books, he drove a Bentley.
So there was an era in the 90s, starting with the launch of the Z3, like 1996-ish.
So GoldenEye...
Yeah, GoldenEye, when the Bond franchise started driving BMWs for a few years.
For a little bit,
yeah. And so I put Tomorrow Never Dies on. It was the second to the last movie that Desmond Llewellyn was in, who played Q, like, from the beginning of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had an E38 BMW 750 IL in it.
I have a good BMW movie, but it's really cringy, but it's so good. But we'll get to it.
All right. The other one, For Your Eyes Only. Which I was just double checking to make sure that it was the correct Bond movie that I'm thinking of, and it is. And the reason I remember it is not for the Esprit Turbo that James Bond drove, but rather... In
the submarine one or whatever?
That might be Octopussy.
No, this was the Esprit Turbo. Look at this thing.
It was sick.
Yeah. It's the gold one. Not the white one that went underwater.
It's red.
Or like copper color.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But the reason that I remember that movie, and I love that movie, is there is a comical opening scene where they're running down this mountain road being chased
mm-hmm.
in this little yellow Deux-Chevaux, you know, Citroën.
Oh, yeah.
2CV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it just gets completely beat up.
Yeah, torn up.
And as a kid, I just laughed at that movie. I mean, the Bond purist probably hate it because it was, you know, kind of...
cheesy.
It was almost kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
As I think probably many of the Roger Moore... movies were.
I mean, they were kind of cheesy. They were all kind of cheesy.
I loved Roger Moore. Anyways, and then the last one on the list that I put here is The Italian Job. But
oh, wait, which one?
The original.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, the 1969 version.
Okay, I really like the...
I have a small...
The Mark Wahlberg one? That's like... I think I've rewatched that movie like 30 times.
Oh, Mark Wahlberg. Boogie Nights. He was... cast of Boogie Nights is fantastic, too. It had Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. But yeah, the both Italian Jobs are good.
That's a really good example of like...
if you've never seen the original, you need to see the original.
Okay, now I got to watch the original one.
Yeah,
because they also had Minnie Coopers.
It also had Benny Hill in it.
It had a bunch of random people in there.
That's my list.
Okay, okay. Damn. So many good ones. Tell me about Ronin. I've never watched Ronin.
Look it up.
Yeah.
So is R-O-N...
R-O-N-I-N.
I fucked it up through your fucking contacts.
So Ronin, I think the premise is Robert De Niro's character is an undercover CIA agent.
Yes, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, a Sinn Féin terrorist.
Sinn Féin Irish terrorist.
Yeah, has
a plot.
Has hired a bunch of, you know,
people.
Hired assassins
mm-hmm.
to go recover a case.
Yeah, it's the Finnegan or whatever.
It's handcuffed to some... Yeah. Poor bloke's wrist.
Okay.
Nobody knows what's in the case. You never find out what's in the case.
It's one of those movies.
But they go like chase the guy to try and recover the case.
Mm-hmm. But the chase scenes, I think, have influenced car chase
S8.
Forever.
Yeah, I'm looking. So forever. Like one of the cars that pop up from the movies.
1998.
Like,
so whatever generation.
D2.
Audi S8.
D2 S8.
Yeah. Great car chases. E34 M5 car chase.
Yep, I'm seeing pictures of this now.
But the flipped E34 M5 was just a regular E34.
They didn't want to waste the money. Movies are good for that. Well, they'll make a bunch of like
how they cut the movie and like mm-hmm. how she was shifting and the driving,
mm-hmm.
like the J turns and everything.
I mean, it probably if I went back and watched it today, it may have a cheese factor, but it was so cool.
But I feel like it's really hard to make a car movie and not have cheesiness in it.
Yeah.
I feel like every car movie has some level of like, this is a little
some
cheesy.
Tropes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I think that's...
You could just hear in the background like...
The Italian Job? Absolutely. The
original
one? I mean, isn't that the soundtrack to the Benny Hill Show?
It's
pretty close.
Yeah, like
it's just kind of corny. It's kind of a circus.
But I feel like that's some of the allure and some of the fun. It's just like, it's, you know, don't take it too seriously, you know, but there are some...
It's entertainment, right?
Yeah, it's entertainment.
So, I guess last two comments about Ronin. The closing scene where Vincent, I forget the actor's name,
mm-hmm.
and Robert De Niro,
mm-hmm.
I forget his character's name, are sitting in this cafe in Montmartre in Paris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talking about, so what was in the case?
What was in the case?
What was in the case?
Yeah.
I've actually been to where that cafe was.
Oh, really?
I've seen the staircase, and it burned down, and they tore the building down, so the building's gone. But I've been there.
Dang.
And it's full of one-liners. Favorite one-liner?
Really good. Mm. Really good one-liners.
It's a good plan. Let's stick to the plan. Everybody wants to go to the party. Nobody wants to stay and clean up. That's Ronin.
How fun.
It's a good movie.
I'm going to have to add that one to the list. I like watching movies. I was just arguing with some friends about how they don't like watching movies. I'm like, how? How do you not like watching movies?
Pinnacle of our entertainment. It's like our version of writing, you know, stuff on the cave wall.
Exactly.
It's forever.
I might have Ronin on DVD you can borrow.
Oh, yeah.
Which I replaced the VHS tape. I might have it on VHS.
Yeah, do you have it on Laserdisc, too?
No. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I love Laserdisc.
Do you know what a Laserdisc is?
I haven't seen anything on Laserdisc.
Do you know what a Laserdisc is?
No.
They were this freaking big.
Oh, so it was like before it was the DVD.
It was so like an LP.
It's an uncompressed DVD. Yeah.
Well,
because if it's that big, that means that it's just like a record.
It was before DVDs.
So yeah. It's an uncompressed disc. So it's just like, it's a record.
But the amount of data that they kept on the Laserdisc was, it was bigger than DVD, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the format was like...
It was short-lived.
It didn't... Well, because it was like $9 million for the player.
Yeah.
And the discs were like, for inflation, right. Were like $100 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But... If you ever get the chance, you should watch Empire Strikes Back in Laserdisc.
Oh,
on Laserdisc?
Oh, seriously? Do you have a Laserdisc player?
No. It was like my dad's friend. Sounds like it or whatever.
I mean,
the key thing is the audio quality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The mix. Mm-hmm. Is because because of the format of Laserdisc was basically they filmed a lot of stuff in like certain like 35 millimeter or 70 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
Laserdisc had stuff on 70 millimeter, like the before IMAX and stuff like that. Just the wide angle of Laserdisc, because after VHS, like when VHS came, and also even DVD came, the compression.
Yeah,
a ton more compression.
It's the same thing with music, from records to CDs to like digital music. Like, so digital music is like highly compressed. So
yeah,
it can fit on your phone, and then CDs were like less compressed.
A lot of uncompression.
Yeah, so then like a record is so big because there's no compression. You're literally just like raw.
And what
music.
Happened with tape? I mean, what were we thinking?
Like Betamax
with
or cassettes?
Like VHS and Betamax.
I guess essentially like tape. I guess tapes are like
format.
They're uncompressed, but they're rolled up. So you could have like a longer string of like data in the tighter package because it's like rolled up. That's my thought.
In 1998, when Ronin came out, I was too cheap. Well, actually, I was a college student. I didn't have a lot of money, but too cheap to buy a DVD player because they were really, really, really expensive.
Back then, DVD.
So I was still rolling the VHS.
Hey,
but I had a
or did you like watch it on a cable and then recorded it on like a blank VHS? I mean, we can talk about stories about that crap. Oh,
my
God.
I once recorded, TBS used to run all of the Bond series at Christmas time every year.
Yeah.
Like, just a continuous.
Because they had the catalog or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did that one time. I bought a bunch of blank VHSs and I recorded.
And it's a bunch of, JCPenney commercials and, Kmart.
I think I actually,
attention,
like,
Kmart
stopped.
Shoppers.
I think I actually tried to pay attention and stop it.
And, like, stop it.
Yeah,
and then
pause it so that the commercials were...
That's hilarious.
That's, like, a thing.
I mean, when I grew up, we had a VHS. We had multiple VHS players. And, I mean, my TV had a built-in one. So, like, for the better half of my childhood. Yeah. So I definitely know that everybody from my generation remembers the orange Rugrats VHS tape. Because, like, the tape was, like, bright orange. Because, like, the Nickelodeon logo. So, yeah.
That's a fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What's your favorite?
Okay. Yeah. So I got, like, a lot, but I'm going to shorten it down. So my favorite, like, car movies... Oh, goodness, there's so many. Okay, so I like the cringy movies.
Okay.
And one of the cringy ones that I really like is Red Line.
Red Line.
Red Line.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to say it came out in like 2006 or something like that. And the premise of the story.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's so cringy. But it had really good cars.
What's the premise of the story?
So the premise of the story is like literally a bunch of like rich people like racing and like racing for money. Like just like everywhere between like legal and illegal street racing.
It's like an amazing race.
Okay.
But really crappy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or
like
the greatest, one of,
It was that reality show where they like
kind of,
had to travel
over
the world.
Just trying to think of there was a really old one where like they're all like, I don't know. Yeah. We'll keep going.
Anyway,
keep going,
so the premise of the story is that your main protagonist is this young girl who is in a band, but she also runs like a car, like performance shop at a racetrack. Because her father used to race, right?
Yeah.
And you find out later that her father died, you know, racing. And that, but she's also, like, a really good driver, you know, as well as, like, tuning and making performance parts for these cars or whatever, right? So, essentially, like, one of the, like, rich dudes...
this is 2007, right?
Yeah.
You're pretty close.
Yeah, like, one of the rich dudes is like, hey, you know, after she, like, showed him her driving skills on his car that she had, like, essentially finished for him.
There's a really good story about this movie. Keep going. Okay. Keep going. There's a bunch of insurance fraud or whatever.
Oh, yeah?
Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep
so
going.
So then, like, eventually she just, like, drives for him. Like, things happen. She gets in an accident and gets kidnapped. Like, just normal, like, Fast and the Furious movie type stuff, right? Except for, like, the movie had really good, like, supercars, right? So, like, the first car you're introduced in the movie is, like, a Ford GT. Okay. You know, and she's, like, whipping this Ford GT around the racetrack. And then, like, there's a saline, like, Mustang on the racetrack. And then this is, like, one of the only movies that has a real Koenigsegg in the movie. You know, everybody's introduced to the CCX at the end of the movie. They're like, what is this?
Yeah, some cool stuff.
You know,
yeah.
there's multiple Ferrari Enzos in the movie.
So why was it cringy? Was it cringy or cheesy?
It was cheesy. It was cheesy. Super cheesy. It was really cheesy. Like, if you watch it, you're like, oh my God, like, this is, I don't know who these actors are. I don't know who wrote this storyline, but this is cheesy. But it's fun.
You watched it because it was entertaining.
Right, it's fun. Yeah. You brought up BMWs in movies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I love me some great black entertainment, and Queen Latifah is one of my favorites.
No. Okay. Oh, no. I know exactly where this is going, sir.
And there is one movie that Queen Latifah was in, because in the 2000s, she was just in the most random movies ever. So it was called,
she was big in the 2000s.
Yeah, it was a movie.
She was doing a lot of stuff.
It was called Taxi. Actually,
90s, too. Right?
Taxi.
Yeah. So Queen Latifah in this movie is a New York, like, cab driver, right? But she's, like, super into cars. And, like, she has, like, this transforming taxi. And it'll, like, transform into, like, this...
A race car.
Like, essentially, like, this race car
New York City race car with, taxi. Like, a battering ram. And, it, like, a spoiler comes out. It's
like, Jeremy...
wasn't Jimmy Fallon?
Yes! Like, Jimmy literally, Fallon, it was Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah. And they both starred in this movie.
Jimmy Fallon's a cop
or
something
like that?
Yeah, he was,
like, this horrible cop.
But BMW, right?
Right,
it's coming up.
Yeah, so there was these... Russian girls, and
they're, like, bank robbers.
They're bank robbers,
and one of them,
but
the,
their bank robbery car.
Wasn't Heidi Klum one of the stars?
I
it was a model.
Wow, it was a star-studded cast.
Literally, and but their bank robber car was an Alpina B7.
Oh,
with like a full red. Alpina
E65.
Kit.
Yeah,
the bangle butt.
Yeah, red, like
bright red, yeah,
like full, like, let me see.
It was
B7,
yeah. It said Alpina on it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
it sounded badass too.
Yeah,
4.8 liter, 4.4 liter supercharged motor.
Yeah, ooh,
yeah.
Not the best motor, but that's
no, because it wasn't a 760i. It wasn't a V12.
Yeah,
Alpina like they've souped up the V8.
You ever watch M539 Restoration?
No, I take that back. It wasn't Alpina. It was a 760 Li.
What?
Oh, no.
I'm going down.
Was it a 760?
760 Li on, like, dubbed out wheels.
That looked like a Charger
like
at first.
It looked like Alpina wheels.
They weren't Alpina wheels. They were like...
Oops.
Hang on.
Oop.
We're reconfiguring.
Equipment difficulties.
There you go.
Yep.
Nice. Okay.
We live. But yes.
We're good.
Also, here's the taxi. Is it moving? Here, I got you, Jeremy.
I got you. Is that part supposed to be?
I got it. Anyway, while I fix Jeremy's equipment.
Oh. There we go. Yeah.
Yay.
Roddy Tidy Lefty Loosey.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Look at the Crown Vic.
That's a nice Crown Vic. Mm-hmm.
But you should see it transform, though.
Like,
it's so goofy.
You gotta see
it. It's so cheesy.
It's so cheesy.
Does it transform like a transformer? Or like
no, like literally, like,
no,
it went up on like air jacks. And like the bumper and stuff flips
and
out.
The wheels go, a spoiler,
she like switched out like the steering wheel. It's pretty.
It turns into like a Momo steering wheel, right?
Yeah, it's Jeremy.
It
like,
sounds great.
No, it's awesome. Like if you have like small appreciation for just like corny movies, it's a good corny
like
movie.
She removes the monstrous Ford air.
Yeah, and
yeah.
She puts on like this like Momo lightweight like Momo racing steering wheel. It's so funny.
So bad.
Okay, so those two are like up there. Above all of those movies, actually, like my favorite car movie is actually Speed Racer. And it's the 2006 Speed Racer. So like
the Wachowski brothers, sisters,
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
The Matrix people.
Yep. So this Speed Racer is known because it had like really weird CGI, like, and
it's
kind of
out there.
It's kind of out there. But this probably is one of the best stories behind like a racing movie. And it's nothing like super deep, but the filming and like the way they put everything together, it's really funny because there's like this other dude on YouTube, and like every time you like go through this movie, it like kind of brings me like to tears at the end because it's like a combination of like everything to him like winning the last race. And it's just really, really fun. But definitely like one of my favorite movies to watch from beginning to end. And somewhat of a, like an emotional little roller coaster.
Yeah, but
fun. Then I don't like any of the Fast and Furious movies besides two of them. And I always have to choose between two of them. And I always want to say, I'm going to say Too Fast, Too Furious is my favorite, but that's just because I like Miami.
So that had a Mitsubishi Evo 7.
Yes.
It was supposed to have an 8, but it didn't come in time. And then the second generation Eclipse.
Third generation Eclipse.
Mitsubishi Eclipse.
The worst one.
Yeah, I was going to, that's the ugly one, right?
Yeah.
The second generation was
the Talon, right?
Yeah, Talon.
So the second generation was Paul Walker's car in the first movie.
That was a second gen.
It was Tyrese's car.
The second gen was popular when I was in high school.
I always wanted one.
Well, yeah.
I always wanted one.
So if you
I had a teacher that had a Eclipse GSX.
Yeah, those are pretty.
He had a GSX.
She had a GSX.
They're pretty rare these days to find an actual cool like. Car. I mean, it was an all-wheel drive coupe. Sporty coupe.
4G63. Like, yeah. Single turbo.
Yeah.
Twin scroll.
Don't find those cars like that.
They're all clapped out.
But if you want a nice one,
they also hold decent value. Yeah. I feel like, is that the end of my list?
All right, so that was Too Fast, Too Furious.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
What was the other one?
Taxi.
No, the other, you said two Fast and the Furious.
The first one and the second one?
Oh, the first one and the second one?
No, the second one and the third one are my favorite ones. But we don't have... What's the third one? The third one is Tokyo Drift.
Three
Fast
and the Furious. It's got a Mustang with a motor swap in it. With RB26 in it, yeah. Supposedly.
Out of a Nissan.
I don't think it...
The only reason I like Too Fast, Too Furious and Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift is because they still focus on like car stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they had like
car scenes,
but there was nothing out of the blue, right?
Cars being launched into the moon.
I think the craziest thing is that in Too Fast, Too Furious, they take a 69 like Camaro, like, and they jump it off of something. I don't know what they jump it off of, some debris, and they jump it onto the back of a yacht. Like, that was the craziest stunt in the movie, if I'm thinking back correctly.
No.
Well, then what else happened in the movie? In the beginning of the movie. Oh, well, that too.
But also, I remember seeing, wasn't that in like one of the trailers?
Yeah. I think so. They like use like nitrous bottles to like blow people out of a car.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
Can we just say R.I.P. Paul Walker?
Yes, R.I.P. Yeah. Paul Walker.
Rest in peace, Paul Walker.
Yeah.
So sad.
We were talking about Carrera GTs at work the other day, and they're like, everybody's like, well, why can't anybody drive them? And I'm like, I don't know. I've only sat
people in been one. Crashing them left and right.
Especially out here.
Out like, here too. Yeah.
You know, we live in Billionaire Valley, and everybody out here has one, and they've all crashed them.
They've at
one
crashed point in time. All of them.
I've only known like one guy who hasn't crashed his. Yeah, everybody else is like...
Driving like a grandpa?
I mean...
No, he doesn't drive it like a grandpa. He's just a better driver because like... So I've known...
Very little ABS, very little traction control.
I don't think it has anything at all. I think it just doesn't have much. Yeah, so... And...
How much horsepower? 650?
I don't know how much the...
It's got at least six something.
Yeah.
3,000 pounds. Probably less than 3,000 pounds.
I passed... Speaking of driving...
605.
605.
Oh my God.
I passed a... 992 GTS on the way up here that was brand new with the
992.
Oh,
992.2 GTS or 992.1? Can you tell the difference?
No. It's really tough.
I need to go study it.
So, like, the biggest telltale is that the light bar, like,
it's cut in the middle.
Yeah, on the .1 generation, it goes all the way across, but there's like a little bump, and like it's continuous, but there's like a little bump. But in like the 992.2 generation, it's just goes one big line, like one big kind of gap all the way across the back. I
wasn't paying attention to that.
It's really tough.
It had a big wing, and I thought it was a GT3 at first, but it was a GTS.
With the aero package.
And it was going about 55 on the 101, and I rolled by, and it was this old dude just
chilling.
Sunday driving his.
Good for him.
I tell you, you know, all these.
The car's great slow. The car's great fast.
And he's not in danger of spinning out and going.
No. But that was the thing. I was going to mention that. So, Courier GT people who buy the Courier GT
are bad drivers.
No, I won't say bad drivers. I think they drive them like they could drive a 911, which we all know 911s are very easy to drive. Very, very easy to drive. Very easy to drive fast.
To a point, yeah.
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 As, I mean, if you're not
like any car.
Yeah, if you're driving a non-turbo 911, like you're not.
It's very forgiving.
Right, well, exactly.
They're really not that powerful.
Yes. True. And then all the power is way up top. Yeah. You know, I'm almost sure that this V10 probably, like I said, I've never had a chance to drive one, so I can't speak to it, but I'm almost sure it was completely.
The GTs are mid-engined.
Right. So it has like Cayman stuff, but it's not the size of a Cayman, you know? So, right. And it's, it's making way more power than a Cayman.
What is it? Snap oversteer?
I'm assuming that's literally just what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll happen in a Boxster if you're.
Exactly.
Very strong.
But we're not getting that in a 911 because most of the weight is over the rear.
In the rear axle. Yeah.
So, final car movie.
Yeah, sorry. So, tangent.
It's okay.
The newer Italian Job.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Mark Wahlberg.
Good movie.
Who we got? Mark Wahlberg.
Cameron Diaz. No, it's not Cameron Diaz.
Shit.
I'm bad with stars, guys. I'm just really bad with stars.
Girl, and then there's some supporting cast that you probably recognize.
Yep. Okay,
and the bad guys.
We got Mark Wahlberg, Ed Norton, Jason Statham. Charlie Theron, Donald
Charlize Theron.
She's the female.
Yeah, lead. Seth Green, Frankie G, Seth Green.
Mos Def is in it too.
Yeah,
Mos Def. Seth Green's like the hacker or whatever.
What happened?
Mos Def is like the demolitions guy or something like that.
What's Seth Green up to?
Let's see, movies and shows. The last movie he did,
in the Italian Job. Oh, wait a minute.
The last movie he did, 2007.
Oh, and
the car in the
Italian new
car?
And the
I
old.
Said a Mini. It is a Mini, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Mini Cooper.
So it's another BMW.
Yes. Well, honestly, there was they have the Minis, it's just really fun what they do with those Mini Coopers in that movie. They literally use them to steal gold bars. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Go watch the original Italian Job.
I'm gonna have to watch.
Well worth it.
Yeah. I also just like the combination of like dumb safe cracking stuff in the newer movie because it's just like I like safe cracking stuff and it's just really fun. And there's like a scene where like it's like one of the last scenes in the movie. They got all the Mini Coopers down in the subway. They're about to like load them up with like the gold bars. But they have to like get through like this
underground
through the safe. Yeah. And like she's like drilling through it or whatever. And apparently like in this safe, I don't know if this is fictional or not, but there's like a pane of glass. So that you can't go through it because the glass will break and it'll set the tumblers or whatever. So like the glass cracks and then she has to like go back to like the old school way of like listening
the hand whatever.
Yeah, to like how her like father used to do it and they would like write down like the numbers that would work and what didn't work. And then she like eventually like does it. And this is a really cool scene when she like finally, completes it because like her thing was that she cracked safes for like the police, but she would never look at what was inside. So like this is the first time she like turns around and sees what's inside. You know, although they're all thieves, gold. But like a whole bunch of gold bars. So but yeah, fun movie.
My turn.
Your turn.
My god, there's just so many. Oh, let's get the good. Let's get the famous ones out. Like the more. If I mention them, you'd be like, oh shit. Mad Max.
Yeah.
The original. Mm-hmm. So both Mad Max and then the second Mad Max movie.
I love
the original Mad Max was like filmed in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the debut of like the Ford Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the supercharger and everything. So he used that car in the first one to hunt down the person that killed his family. That's mm-hmm. why he went. It was Max, and then he turned into Mad Max.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the second Mad Max movie was called. It was the one where he like helped out like this group of like people or whatever, you know, like
Mad Max 2, the Road Warrior.
Road Warrior, yeah.
Are you referring to the 1981 version or a newer version?
So just the 1981 version.
Okay.
And the original version was, you know, the guy who directed it directed Penguins. Like really? Happy Dance.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I'm serious. Well, I forgot what his name is, like George something or whatever. Yeah, it's wild. And then he went back. He wanted to do...
George Miller.
George yeah. Miller, yeah. He yep. wanted to do Mad Max, the Furiosa movie.
Oh, he did Happy Feet? That's hilarious. Happy Feet.
Yeah.
Like, the, oh, he Fury has such
Road?
A weird...
Fury Road. So okay. Fury Road, he wanted to do for years. Like, mm-hmm. that was the original vision yeah. was yeah. to do that, but he just, you know, didn't have the money. Yeah.
Didn't
that,
happen until 2015.
Yeah, didn't and that movie took like 3 or 4 years to make.
Wow.
They had to do reshoots, like the original, like where they filmed it in like Yemen or whatever, it washed out for, like a rare like rainstorm and it washed out and they're like, oh, we can't film. So
can't
all
do
the equipment was there. Anyways, wow. okay. So Mad Max, second movie, I would say that would have a very iconic car was Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a fantastic
one. The Echo One, which yeah. was like a hearse.
This falls like right into the category of yeah, like it was also a, Back to the Future with the DeLorean.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. 1959 Cadillac Miller Meteor. And then of course, mm-hmm. yeah, Back to the Future, the DeLorean. Just like
classic. If only the DeLorean was actually that cool.
Classic, like, classic, you know, just
oh, in 1985 when I was a kid, the DeLorean was it was cool. Because
stainless steel,
nobody knew that it was underpowered. Like
before they,
none of us little kids knew
it looked
that
like it,
was
it had a million horsepower.
Exactly, yeah,
right?
Exactly,
you know, yeah. like just it just it just didn't 1. Look 21 like
21 gigawatts.
Do you know what the story is behind the gigawatts?
Mm-mm.
So do okay, tell. It's a little racist, but who's the director again?
I got it. Just give me
oh my
one
God,
moment.
I can't like think right
tell
now.
Tell us the story while
but
you're
basically. They needed a, so he had the director Steven Spielberg. Okay, jeez, I can't remember things. Steven Spielberg.
He no. wrote no.
yeah, Steven Spielberg.
Rob Zemeckis.
Yeah,
he wrote it.
Robert Zemeckis.
Zemeckis. Robert Zemeckis. He was the director.
It. Yeah,
but Steven Spielberg produced it.
I don't think so.
Back to the Future.
Let me see, producer. Unless Google is lying to me right now, which it very well could
Steven
be.
Steven Spielberg directed Back to the Future.
I don't think so.
No.
Did Steven Spielberg produce Back to the Future?
Did he?
Was
yes, he was one of the executive producers yeah. along with Kathleen Kennedy. Because
he
Frank
was doing
Marshall.
Jurassic Park and like Back to the Future all at the same time.
Jurassic Park didn't come out until like 1994.
True. Yeah,
it was directed by him and
Back to the Future.
Robert Zemeckis.
So he co-directed
Zemeckis.
It.
Yes, it was.
He had a bunch of stuff going Zemeckis. On at the same time with Back to the Future.
Well, so that's true. I
okay.
mean, yeah.
So the 1.8 gigawatts story. Mm-hmm. So Steven Spielberg had 21. A... Yeah, or, sorry. What was it again?
1.21
gigawatts. 1.21
gigawatts.
It's racist. It's so racist, but
oh, no.
it's a fun story. So Steven Spielberg had
Is any racist story a fun story?
It is a fun story.
They could be funny, but...
he had a physicist, a PhD uh-huh. student physicist, as a consultant
oh.
on the movie because they kind of wanted to make it
right,
sort
right.
of like relatable or mm-hmm. whatever. Or like, you know, plausible or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if I really wanted to send a car in time, how much power would it could like... Like, would this thing need
mm-hmm.
to go into the future?
Right.
And because of his accent, he was Chinese. Oh. He meant to say 1.21 gigawatts. Uh-huh. But because he's, you know, not a native-born American English-speaking person, it sounded like 1.21 gigawatts. And so they wrote it in as
oh my
gigawatts.
God.
So it's like, it's a made-up, you know, thing
That's
because of racism.
Hilarious.
So,
but also yeah. very sad. But
the flux capacitor,
Mr. Fusion,
But Mr. Fusion didn't show up
till the Back to the Future,
Back to the Future 2. Oh, two. No, it showed up, yeah, at the very end of the
yeah.
original Back to the Future.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Where
yeah,
we're
yeah,
going, we don't need
roads.
Roads,
yeah, exactly. yeah, yeah, yeah. So we have
that's a really good one.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then,
hero cars, like
oh,
legit
hero
cars.
And then. You know, it's a good one. Bullet with Steve McQueen.
I was
yeah.
about to say, we can't finish this podcast without
somebody
bringing up a Steve McQueen movie.
They would have
yeah.
shot
yeah.
us.
I yeah. mean, that would have, like, it spawned a whole series of just, like, car chase movies.
Yeah.
You know, like, what we got for 60 Seconds. Original 60 Seconds was
I
basically
mean,
a play
yeah.
on Bullet.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I
just
mean, even
that
movie, too, with... Eleanor.
Yeah, Eleanor.
Like
yeah,
one of
like,
the most expensive Mustangs.
I think it really cemented the Ford Mustang as a movie car. Bullet.
Which I feel like we never... I'm thinking of all the movies, and we never really got a good Mustang movie car.
Until 1971, I think? 1971 was Bullet.
Modern day, the Mustang has definitely fallen out of the movies. There's only one movie where I can think of, like, right off the top of my head.
Bullet, I think, was in the 60s. Sorry.
Oh, no, I have it pulled up right here. It was 1968.
Yeah,
yeah. Modern day Mustang movie. Need for Speed, the movie.
Need for Speed, the movie.
It had a custom, like, GT500 wide-body Mustang that was somewhat cool, but that's the only other Mustang movie hero car I can think of. Poor Mustang.
The Great Escape, another great Steve McQueen movie that's not necessarily a car movie.
The Great Escape.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it had he drove a motorcycle in that.
Yes.
He jumped like a fence. And supposedly he did the stunt.
Oh, wow.
Like the movie producer people were like, there's no way you're gonna do this.
Did he do all of his stunts?
He did most of it. And also in Bullet too, he drove most of it.
Didn't he also have a making this up as I go, but I feel like he also had a career as a racing car driver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That sounds
about
right.
Le Mans. He spent a bunch of movie filming his own version of Le Mans. Mm-hmm. Like, he raced at Le Mans with a 918.
Oh.
Okay. And a Mark II 4 GT. It's really... That movie also inspired a lot of, like, the camera angles for car chases.
Because
back in the... You know, they didn't have digital cameras then. So they had a 4 GT with a camera rig on it. Like, literally, they had a guy like... GT40, yeah. With, like, a person on the front of the car filming other cars
at speed.
But they
still do a lot of that today. Like, I want to say 90% of, like, in-car scenes and things like that. It's always, like, a big kind of car jig or rig. And they're, like, there's somebody, like... driving
on top of it,
top
or like
of it or
hidden inside
of it
or whatever.
I mean, today we see a little bit more of like they'll use SUVs or like performance SUVs with like a big boom crane. Funny enough, I actually got to like use one of these things. I was at 034 like last summer, and they had like a guy out there. He had like this big, he had a Q5 with like this big
I've seen that
camera arm on it, and he like films for like a lot of the people around here, and he was kind of letting everybody try. And they have like these two wheels that control like up and down.
Yeah, and like the pivot and stuff.
Yeah, and like left and right. So you kind of like just spin them. But they have like a really nice weight to them, so you can kind of like
feel it through it.
Yeah. And then it's like a slow movement, and you can kind of like get all these angles and stuff. But it's really cool to see. But that's how they do like a lot of the car stuff these days. Along with having multiple of cars. Or they'll just make fake cars for the movie. Like Fast and Furious. Any movie these days where... it has like $1 million supercars and stuff like that. They just make fake
cars.
Sure.
I think a perfect example of that was actually in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, the
Ferrari. 250 GTO California. Yeah. I mean, back then was like worth quite a lot of money too.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, you know, today. And the car that they use, or the kit car that they use, was a Corvette for all the stunts and stuff like that. They never had a
like,
real
let me tell you,
Ferrari
like,
250
the real...
GTO. Are you kidding me, man?
The real hero of every car movie is an LS. Because like they just find some sort of
everywhere.
Body kit, and they just drop an LS in it, and they're like, okay, car.
That's it. Yeah, even the Batman, the new one, Dark Knight, the Tumbler, had an LS in it, too.
Yeah.
Had a short block.
It's just a workhorse. A workhorse of a motor.
How many General Lees exist in the world?
That's really like 3 trillion.
I think they made they crashed at least 3 or 4 of them per episode.
Yeah, per episode.
And then I think in total they made at least 300 of them, I think.
Isn't that crazy?
Over 230.
Dude, I'm good, man. I'm so fucking good. I'm so good.
The exact number of General Lees used varies by source, but the estimate ranges from 309 to 329.
Because they just
General
were cheap
Lees.
Cars. They
well,
were
yeah,
really cheap,
you know,
shitty
they
cars.
They launch them and stuff. And, you
guys,
know,
you know how hard it is to get a Dodge Charger today.
Oh, it's impossible now. Yeah.
From this, and this is like the best generation for Dodge Chargers.
And people are chasing them. People are like trying to find these cars like in... you know, lots and barns or whatever. Man, it's a cool car though.
Man, so, I mean, yeah, and especially in that paint scheme and like
with the Daytona wing and everything. It's just so sick.
Did the General Lee?
No, it didn't have a Daytona wing.
Oh,
nope.
But Daytona Charger is a cool car.
Those are pretty cool.
I mean, you have there's the Daytona Charger there, and there's also the Plymouth Roadrunner. Yeah. The Plymouth Roadrunner does not look good with the wing.
Which is the Super B? Is that the Roadrunner or the Charger?
That's a charger.
It would be the charger.
Okay. Yeah.
That's isn't that the version?
That was like
no, it's a date. It's a Daytona.
Oh, what am I saying?
I'm making, well, because the reason they call them Daytona Chargers is because that was the same NASCAR race car charger that was like one of the first cars to like 200 miles an hour. Let me see.
Fiberglass wing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it actually did stuff. Believe it or not, guys.
It had it had like a 440 big block Hemi.
Mm-hmm. And it also had an extended front clip.
Yeah, it was aero. Yeah. It was like very early aero.
There was a Super V, but it was, yeah. Didn't have a big wing.
No.
Yeah, the Charger, Dodge, names, things. They do the things.
So, real quick, Steve McQueen. Can we go back to Steve McQueen?
Yeah, of course we can go back to Steve McQueen, the GOAT. He
had a true racing career.
Yes.
Mm.
He finished third in the 1961 British Touring Car Championship.
Oh, wow.
He raced in the 1970 12 Hours of Sebring and finished second.
What?
Peter Revson in a Porsche 908.
Oh, wow.
A Porsche 908?
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
And he entered the 24-hour of Le Mans with his production company, Solar Productions, which I think you kind of talked about.
Yeah.
And he participated in the Mojave Desert 500. Mm. And he also raced motorcycles.
He raced, yeah, was really into motorcycles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was really into motorcycles.
He was the real deal.
There's a bunch of, like, actors that now this kind of tangent into like actors racing. So you got mm-hmm. Paul Newman, yeah. really famous.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves now, yeah. right?
Does GS or GT4 with the Supra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Malcolm in the Middle kid.
Yeah. Frankie Muniz.
He's actually pretty good too.
He's been driving for a while. Yeah.
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 Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
Ben, who's like the guy? Shoot. What was his name? The guy from X-Men. You know what I'm talking about?
Ben Stiller?
No.
Seinfeld, right? Yeah, but he does vintage racing.
Yeah.
The Man Show guy, Adam Carolla.
Adam Carolla.
He does a lot of Nissan stuff. Mm. Local, too.
Yeah.
Local.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There's a bunch of actors that get into racing.
As much as there are car movies, there are actors who also do car things. I always think about how Mr. Bean, I don't know what his real name is.
Rowan Atkinson.
Yes, he had a McLaren F1.
He wrecked a McLaren F1.
And then fixed it.
He fixed it. Yep.
Probably the cheapest one out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still worth a fortune.
Yeah. I gave up on that car a long time ago because they hit, I want to say McLaren F1s hit $20 million. Like
it's more now. It's like $30 million.
Immediately.
Like, $35 million.
I've seen one driving on the road. In Hayward.
It's a lot smaller. Like,
oh my God. When you go up to it,
it's like the size of this table. It's tiny.
No, they are tiny.
They look huge in pictures.
Yeah.
I don't know who's taking pictures of these cars, but these cars look massive in pictures.
A picture in 2020, right before everything locked down, I went to Paris to a car show and mm-hmm. there was a display there. They had, I think, four F1s mm-hmm. from like, you know, regular road cars to race cars, like F1 GTRs, lined up. And I've got a picture of the nose of all these F1s.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
I got to see a bunch of them when I went to the Goodwill Festival of Speed because it was the year of BMW when I went. So those are BMW engines. So they had a bunch
of
them.
What year did you go?
22.
Okay.
Yeah. Summer of 22.
I was supposed to go summer of 22.
Yeah,
as
we talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I moved here.
I have another famous, but foreign, we can talk about foreign car. Chase famous car.
I'm listening.
Jackie Chan.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Hand of God.
Jackie Chan.
I haven't seen that one.
So he drives his getaway car is a Mitsubishi Lancer Evo 5,
A
white one or something like that. There's a bunch of Jackie Chan 90. Movies with Mitsubishi something in it, and then the three chase cars are the black Mitsubishi Lancers.
Oh wow, that's really
and
fun.
Also even before that. Jackie Chan drives a Mitsubishi it's either a Starion or a very early 3000 GT.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh my God, what's the movie called? It's like a race or something like that. And he's like the gizmo guy. He was like, it was like one of his first like American roles or something like that.
Oh, wow.
It was really goofy. And then there's a movie with Jackie Chan that, it's like industrial espionage or something, and it's like a rotary car, but it runs on water or something like that. It's so ridiculous.
Let's also talk about the things that movies have convinced car people they can do, like driving under semi trucks. Let's talk about how in every single car movie there's some
launch
scene,
over a ramp and
right.
the suspension not blow out.
Exactly. There's so many there's like so many car movies where like some low car.
Perfect example, Driver with Jason Statham.
Right, exactly.
The BMW 7 series like goes through brick walls.
I'd like to see you try that in your mom's
BMW.
Like,
yeah, and he's like hitting people with the car or whatever. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Hey, that's what all those pedestrian safety ratings are for. How like, about, so you can bounce off the bumper.
Technologies or features in vehicles and old movies that are now commonplace. Like,
oh my goodness. I feel like there's some really good ones, and I just can't think about it right now.
Well, Tomorrow Never Dies, the 750 IL.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan's like hiding with,
he's controlling
with his phone.
It,
he's controlling it with his phone.
Like, with his, I mean, like, Palm Pilot.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's like... He's got this flip phone. Yeah. I don't know.
The Tesla palm, summoning before.
Tesla summoning.
And he's like using this scroll pad or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just so stupid.
I don't know how we like missed this, but like the Herbie movies.
Oh.
Like the original ones.
Yeah.
But then also like this is just the dumbest scene out of the Lindsay Lohan Herbie movie. Herbie like forces her to go up against a Pontiac GTO, which is like a horribly, like in base form, much slower than you would think, right?
So it's a, just for people's knowledge, it's a VW Beetle that is faster than an F1 car.
Right.
And it's also sentient as well.
Right. But there's like the original like shows and movies from like, I want to say what? That had to be
very early.
Herbie?
The original Herbie?
The original Herbie was like...
Probably 60s or 70s.
Yeah,
yeah, very early. Yeah.
But in the Lindsay Lohan movie, they're like they're gearing up to race. And like the dude's in his Pontiac GTO. And he like flips out like a keyboard from somewhere. And he's like punching in numbers. And I'm like, this is like every Civic kid with a laptop's dream. It's like a tuning on the fly.
Straight tune my map or whatever.
Literally, yeah. Oh my goodness.
1968.
Okay.
Original Herbie.
Yeah.
Sentient.
Although,
VW.
The Lindsay Lohan Herbie was pretty cool too. That one's pretty fun to watch.
That movie's just so ridiculous.
It is very ridiculous, but it was funny. It was funny. It was goofy. Yeah. Hey, I'm trying to think about what else. I still can't get over like driving underneath semi trucks. And then like I think there was like a Mythbusters episode where like they realized that all semi trucks are much too low for this.
Yeah.
But they then also the driving into like driving into airplanes and stuff.
Oh, they proved that you can actually
do that. Yeah. I mean, there's a really funny Top Gear episode. Of like they're like this plane is going down the runway and James is trying to like get in the plane but he keeps falling out because the car is so slow.
Oh jeez! Yeah.
But they're on like the longest runway in the world and Jeremy's making fun of him as usual. It's just so funny.
Do you know what my favorite one was? It was a cartoon called Inspector Gadget.
Oh, Inspector
his
yeah,
car
that was great.
Like would like go over other cars or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Inspector Gadget.
Did they make a movie?
Yeah.
With
they did.
What the hell was his name?
That was like right around the Spy Kids era.
Didn't they? Wasn't
the kid actor the same?
I got it.
Ferris Bueller's Days Off guy. It was the same
Matthew
actor.
Broderick?
Mather Broderick. Yeah,
it
Matthew
was?
Broderick.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was when I think of Inspector Gadget, I think of Steve Guttenberg. And like number 5 is alive. Short circuit.
And yeah,
he's kind of that same. I don't know.
Yeah, goofy hair. And
goofy
stuff.
Hair.
Oh,
yeah.
That was 1999.
Yeah,
Don Adams, Matthew Roderick, Andy Hayward.
Nice.
Damn.
I know.
Yeah,
dude. When it comes to movie trivia, it's just like you can't catch me. You can't catch me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another one just off the top of my head because it popped up. Starsky and Husky.
Starsky and Hutch.
The Ford Torino.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ford Grand Torino.
Yep. Yes. In red and white.
Yep.
And that thing was in the shows. That thing was jumping.
Like it literally. Like, I just
everything.
Thought about. I was like. Yeah.
They're jumping on top of the criminals. They're everything.
Talking about features that cars and movies have that now are in real life. What's the BYD electric car that
comes
out potholes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like their supercar or whatever. I don't know what it's called.
It'll like hop and jump potholes. Oh my God, it's kind of a gimmick, but it actually might be really useful here.
But
honestly,
I would say the coolest one was the James Bond Goldfinger with the machine guns in the headlight. Do you remember all the gadgets and gizmos in the Aston Martin?
Had, like, I mean, all of, like, the...
There's one scene where he was being chased around by, like, the Japanese Yakuza people.
Goldfinger.
So he's being chased or whatever, and they're, like, shooting at his car, and then he had, like, the oil spray. And they had the bulletproof, like, back...
He had, like, the...
metal thing.
Was that the one...
The little spheres with the things on it or whatever.
Yeah, like, and did he have a radar in the dash?
I think he... Like, a missile?
Like...
For, like, missiles or something like that. So crazy.
Let me tell you, we need more spy car cool movies. I feel like we haven't had any, like...
What's been the latest? I mean, besides James Bond, but...
I can't think of anything. Because, like...
What's been recent that's come out?
That stuff was... That was fun stuff. Like, I mean, the James Bond movie I think about that had a lot of that for my age would have been Die Another Day with Halle Berry. And, you know, and they had... That was the Jaguar XK. Was the villain car. That's when, like, the villain started to drive, like, the Jaguars. And, like, Bond always had that smart end. But he had the...
Did you remember that one scene where the missile gets shot at him and he presses the button and the car goes, like...
Literally, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're, like, on the missile. Ice or something like that.
Yeah, on the ice. It's just so crazy.
Because that was a Vanquish. That was a Vanquish.
Far-fetched.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite James Bond movie is, like, the most boring one out of all of them. It's Casino Royale. And I think he literally...
It was, like, the most realistic one.
It was a good movie. And I just remember it had a horrible car crash in it because he, like, flipped the crap out of... I can't remember what car he had. I think he had a DB9 or something.
It was a Vanquish.
Yeah. Was it a Vanquish?
It was a Vanquish. Yeah.
And his Bond car in Casino Royale was a Vanquish? I thought he had a newer one.
Yeah. No, it wasn't the old Vanquish. It was like the new DB9 Vanquish. Like the new version of it.
06? It wouldn't have been a Vanquish. It would have been a...
DB9?
DB9, probably.
Okay.
DBS. He had a DBS.
I'm sorry. Okay, DBS. But fun fact, nonetheless. Fun fact about the flipping over thing, it won a Guinness Book world record
for the most tumbles.
Most flips.
Have you seen the crash, Jeremy? It's pretty...
It's wild.
I don't have, like, a video of it, but, like, literally, like, he, like, is trying to dodge something in the road.
And the Top Gear, driver was the stunt driver for that.
Oh,
yes.
The Stig?
Yeah, the Stig. The Stig. I forgot what his real name is, but the Stig was the original, was the stunt driver for that crash. Yep.
Interesting.
Yep, they're really worried about it, too. They're like, we didn't want it to... like flip that much. We didn't, because it's gas. Like the way it works is it, there's like,
it's like a piston.
Piston that hits it. And
here, Jeremy,
it.
We can like get a little clip of it.
Yeah, I need a refresher.
Turn my brightness up.
Cause I have seen this movie.
Cause they were originally trying to flip the car without the piston.
Right.
But the Aston just like wouldn't, it like either the traction control or the just like had really wide tires at the time. They just couldn't get it to flip, so they finally went to the piston route. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
That is.
How many times does it flip? It flips like 20 or something.
It was
crazy.
Rolling for a while.
Yeah.
Well, and it landed right side up.
Of course.
Ran right side up, and then
it lost a wheel, so it's not
cuts.
Yeah.
It cuts, and then after the scene cuts, everybody runs to the car. It's like, oh my god, we didn't want that to flip that much. And then you see the Stig guy like. With the thumbs up.
He's like, I'm good.
He's fine.
Well, you know, I'm sure they had a roll cage and everything in there.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a Bond movie? It's also like a Mythbusters episode. I want to say it was a Bond movie or some villain movie. I'm pretty sure it was a Countach. They like skim along the water and they're like, you know what I'm talking about.
There was the Esprit that.
Was it always an Esprit?
Esprit?
And I just keep thinking
it was
an
Esprit, yeah.
Was it the white Esprit that
the
transformed
white
into a submarine?
No. It's like,
you had a Countach that skipped.
No, it wasn't.
Water?
Maybe it wasn't Bond. Maybe it was the Esprit.
Maybe you're thinking of like the Cannonball Run or something
no.
like that.
No,
oh
okay, James
my
on.
God,
we forgot.
We forgot the
Cannonball Run. Oh my god,
oh.
It's so famous.
Oh,
it had everything in it too.
Ambulances. It's a real story.
Yeah.
How do we forget this? It starts off with
the Testarossa.
Brock Yates
512
introducing it. Brock Yates. Founded the Cannonball
Run. He was in the movie too, right?
The very opening scene, he's standing there.
So, just for people's knowledge, Brock Yates wrote. Was he the editor or chief for Road and Track?
I think
originally or Car and Driver.
So
I think it was Road and Track.
He was, I think editor in chief for Car and Driver at some point, but I don't.
And
know.
And then switched maybe
or
whatever.
Or maybe
who knows?
He was Road and Track for. But, he was an a very well known automotive journalist.
Yeah, and the Cannonball Run was basically an unsolicited illegal street race that you would drive from
the Red Ball Garage in
Red
New
Ball
York City.
Yep, Red Ball Garage in New York City to San Francisco.
No, no.
Or was it somewhere in?
It's pretty much like
Portofino Inn and Redondo Beach.
Portofino Inn and Redondo Beach.
Yeah,
and
but some it's people much east coast to west coast as fast as you can.
The original time was about 30 hours nonstop.
Yeah.
And then it's gotten over the years down to what's the record now?
The 21 current record hours? Is held by a Audi S6, and it did it in like 20 something hours
during COVID, though.
Yeah, during COVID, yeah. Prime time.
But I think isn't there a guy that's beaten it now
at like 19 or something? Did he break the 20s?
I forget.
Because you would need really large fuel tanks. You could only stop maybe two or three times, and the average speed that you would have to do is 140 miles an hour.
Arnie, there's a guy. What's Arnie's
which is
last name?
Wild.
No, it's still the S6 guys.
Is
the,
it
still the 20, still, 25 hours and 39 minutes?
That's so crazy. Yeah. Driving across the whole entire country in 25
who
hours.
Who did it? Who drove it?
Arnie. Tallman and Doug Talbot.
Weren't they also the ones, they broke their own record, right? They did it in a Mercedes E-Class that they had like taped up the taillights to make it look like a Honda Accord.
Yeah, and then they did the same thing with the Audi to make it look
like
a
Ford Taurus.
Yeah.
So, funny story, when I was starting my career as an engineer, I worked at a company, and one of the older senior engineers that I worked with was a guy named Nate Pritzker. And if you look up Cannonball Run lore, he ran the Cannonball Run with a group of guys that were hired to transport this rich guy's Cadillac across the country. And they raced the Cadillac across the country.
Oh, my
Cannonball
God.
Run.
That's so cool.
I don't think they won.
Yeah, there's also a really funny scene from Red Lime. In the beginning of
I was supposed to talk about the insurance fraud. Okay,
yeah, you
going.
Were.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, really funny scene from Redline in the beginning of the movie. Talk about getting from one place to another really fast. And the first scene in the movie, there's like this young kid, and he's tasked to drive from L.A. to Las Vegas in an SLR McLaren, and he has to do it in like 2 hours or something. And I was like, what?
One, you're not going to get past
Barstow. So it's really funny. So the way he does this is like...
The car would run out of gas, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There's no way you're doing this on
7 miles per gallon.
So what he does is he uses night vision, and he turns off the lights so that he isn't seen by cops. And all you see is like this cop sitting there, and he like blows by.
Yeah.
It just says 201. On like the speed thing, and the cop
the
was
radar.
Like, "But where is this man?" This is really comical.
The insurance fraud story about Redline. So, Eddie Griffith, the comedian who's in the movie,
for the black dude,
for a publicity stunt for the premiere of the movie, drove an Enzo. So the movie producer owned a bunch of like fancy cars, and they were all featured in the movie as, you know, tax write-off or whatever.
Right.
And he was giving, Eddie was giving people rides in the Enzo in like a closed autocross course. He crashes the car. The Enzo literally drives straight into a pylon. Like literally this parking lot is massive, and the one pylon that's there, he drives
it.
Straight into it. Like head on, like either understeers the car into it. And the story is, Eddie says, oh, it was actually a publicity stunt to get, you know, more news about the movie. But really what we find out was it was car fraud. It was insurance fraud.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because the guy had like some massive amount of insurance on the car. He owed money all across the country because he ran a company that was a subprime mortgage loaner.
Oh, my God.
This is 2007. Yeah.
Right,
remember?
Right.
Yep. He was making a ton of money like loaning like subprime. He had a subprime loan business.
Yeah.
He was doing like $5 billion a year in subprime loans. And he had a massive gambling addiction as well. So all the money he would make, he would spend it in, you know, he would basically waste the money gambling.
Right.
And he had a huge car collection. So he went bankrupt because, you know, shit happened. And part of that was the Enzo was, supposedly Enzo got fixed and it's somewhere.
I know somebody
it's
has
somewhere in California.
You know what? Ed Bolian is probably trying to get his hands on that Enzo right now.
Dude, the front end
I'm
was
so
just
sick
smashed,
of this man.
Smashed, smashed or whatever.
He's always looking for like him and Tavares are looking for like the just the worst cars.
We could talk about probably another episode
that
is car YouTubers.
Episode. Yeah, car YouTubers.
Oh my God.
They're a different breed of people.
Yes.
We won't say anything bad about them. Just
no
honest takes.
Yeah, we should have some hot takes so we can get the podcast going viral or something.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely some hot takes on car YouTubers. Definitely.
We need something viral.
It's for the Instas.
The Insties.
For the Insties.
For the Instie people. They're going to be like, who are these three men?
Cool.
Fun. Cars, movies. Movies and cars.
Well, hopefully we get to do this again soon. I know everybody's schedules so are pretty busy.
We're going to have to start doing it like remote.
We
over
need more
Zoom.
Subscribers so that we can monetize this and then quit our jobs.
That would be great. Guys, watch. I don't know. Like, all of my coworkers are like, where's the podcast? Like,
I have some coworkers
of mine,
too.
My brother's been like, hey, when are you going to do another? We're ready.
We're waiting.
We're waiting. Yeah. Well, it's like the Kendrick Lamar album. Like, you got to wait, you know,
you gotta
for
wait
gold.
For the good stuff.
Yeah. You got to wait.
We don't want mass production.
No, Drake just coming out with hot, you know, one after the other. His mall music is coming
Not
out with
mall music.
You just got to wait for the Beethoven, man.
Right,
you know,
right.
All good things in time.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right. This is fun.
Yeah.
It's been another one, guys. We love
on
you.
On the next one.
On the next one.
Bye.
Car YouTuber drama.